And I speak to you in God's holy name, God the Creator, God the Redeemer, and God the Sustainer. Amen. Please be seated. Last week, we began a series, an adventure of looking at the soul. And we mentioned that the soul and sin are connected. And historically, people felt that the soul was a part of you that lived within you and upon your death ascended away into the heavens. And the church in 1976 said, we have to re-examine this theology and we have to now start to understand that the soul is when we live our true selves. We find our true self and live it all our life. And that is then when we are connected with God and God is connected with us. That God is always there, but we have plugged in to the Spirit. And the Spirit lives eternally. And so what we have to be aware of is that sin is living our lives in a false self. And we spend our lives trying to discern what is our true self and not being connected to the false self. Great thinkers and very holy men and women have spent their lives seeking this out. One that is in the lifetime of some of us is Thomas Merton, who wrote books and books about seeking the true self and putting aside the false self. And we're going to continue today to look at this whole idea of seeking the true self, the real self, which is feeding and living in your soul and being aware of your soul, because that's critically important for us. How do we live in our soul? By the way, if she's getting upset, there's lots of toys in the hall if she needs to play. Okay? The real self is something that we need to always be looking for. But it's a difficult task because oftentimes we are born with a situation where we inherit things that are not true about ourselves. We inherit what's known as epigenetically, things that happen in our birth families, attitudes that our family may have had even when we were in the womb. And then we inherit it and we live from that framework all our lives, that somehow I am not good enough. I am less than somebody else. And those are all false selves. Because God created us good, but we don't have somehow that message. And so we spend our lives trying to find our true self. The key to finding the true self is to really check in your own thoughts and attitudes and behaviors. Am I doing unto others, the golden rule, am I doing unto others as I would have them do to me? In my thoughts, in my attitudes, and in my actions. Am I doing to others as I would have them do to me? Am I thinking about them? Am I behaving towards them? Is my attitude towards them what I would want them to have towards me? Now, it's simple to say. It's harder to live. But it is a challenge that we are called to live out and do as we seek ourself and to feed our soul, our true self. St. Paul reminds us that sin is a failure to love. Sin is a failure to love. And we are called to love. And that is always a challenge. Because we live in a time where it seems to be okay to be self-delusionary. We live in a world where leadership in the world seems to be self-delusionary. And people seem to separate themselves from that sense of love. We saw an example graphically in the last week where people, and I'm sure most of us were shocked to hear that people proclaiming that racism was okay. And there's so many other isms that come in that we think are okay, and they all feed the false self. Chauvinism, racism, commercialism, sexism, racism, they all feed the false self because they give some kind of an understanding and it makes it okay to be prejudicial against somebody else. I mean, when a thing is wrong and it's really wrong, it's okay to say that it's wrong. There's nothing wrong with saying that's wrong. And having somebody less than yourself and feeling good about yourself because you put somebody else down is wrong. To think that somebody is less than you, they may be different, but they're not less. And Jesus calls that out. Can you imagine the scene when Joseph's brothers met Joseph in Egypt? That was the reading, the first reading this morning, read by Lynn. Can you imagine that scene? Here is the brothers who have come down to Egypt seeking help because of the great famine. And they are sent to meet this person sent by the Pharaoh, Joseph. And all of a sudden in this room, this guy who they had thrown in a pit and then sold him into slavery was in great high regard and an agent of the Pharaoh. And instead of turning them out and being enraged with them, he loved them. And he turned what had happened to him by them into a positive by saying, "You sent me here to prepare the way so that I could save you." Pretty amazing. And that's symbolic of something greater. That we are called, if we are living in our true selves, to turn whatever happens to us into a positive, in a true way. There's always got to be a deeper meaning, and as we seek to find our true self, our soul, and to feed our soul, is to find the true meaning. I'm sure that with a bit of time, we all can find examples of that in our own lives. And when you find the example of that in your own life, that's a part of the feeding of your soul. That when you all of a sudden went, aha, that was your soul being fed. I can remember when I was doing youth ministry in the Diocese of Ottawa, and they put together this ministry for 5 years, and they put it together because of International Youth Year. And at the end of the 5 years, they said, "Well, Dave, you've done a great ministry, but we knew we were only going to do this for 5 years, and now you're going to have to find something else to do, and you've got 3 months to think about it." And there you are. You can go and apply to other dioceses or whatever you want. Well, I had been praying about and caring about people who were very deeply disadvantaged and had the opportunity to apply to be a correctional chaplain. And so I applied. There was 144 applicants for the job. And I thought, well, I haven't got much of an opportunity, but, you know. But I got chosen and I was delighted. And then I got there and I'm thinking, wow, what am I doing here? But I started to think about it and see it in a new light. that I was called into that ministry, that God had called me to a ministry of restoration. And when I started to understand it as a ministry of restoration and wholeness, making people whole who've been thrown away by others, it was an amazing experience and very fulfilling. Some of the most fulfilling ministry of my life. I don't share that in an egocentric way, but to share that when you have that aha moment, you recognize that you are feeding your soul. And when you are feeding your soul, coming to your real self and not living in your false self, when you throw away all the ego stuff that you've ever thought about who you are and allow yourself to be present and saying, Lord, here I am, that's a moment of great new beginning in your walk with God. Just like Joseph, when he had the aha moment, because Joseph had to go through a terrible time thinking he was thrown away by his brothers. But he had the aha moment, why am I here and what is this about? And Jesus, we often forget in the gospel today the importance of both of these readings. One, he was going against the culture of his own day about all the foods, what not to eat and so on. All the dietary laws. He was saying they don't matter. But even more important was the Canaanite woman. I want you to think about the Canaanite woman for a minute. The Canaanite woman was as low as you could go. One step above a dog in the culture of the day. The Canaanites were thought less of than were even the Samaritans. For the Samaritans had basically a Jewish practice in their faith, but they didn't accept Jerusalem as the core of their religious center. But the Canaanites were the group that Abraham had gone from. Remember, Abraham was a Canaanite, but he left the Canaanites and became the father of Judaism. And so the Jews considered the Canaanites to be the absolute outcasts. And so here is an absolute outcasted person who is a woman, which makes it even less in the culture of the day, coming and claiming in faith, needing the help of Jesus. And Jesus did not intend to help, but her faith, which she proclaimed in God, changed the heart of Jesus. She was speaking from her true self, from her soul. She was speaking, and that touched the heart of Jesus. We often just read about the Canaanite woman and forget how important that is. This is the primary scripture reading that's used in anti-racism awareness education. That Jesus, working with people of faith, of no matter where they're from, God is there in love with them. When we respond in love to God. So today, as we are filling out this idea of what is sin, what feeds our soul, the challenge is to say, how do I live my life in love? True love. Getting beyond all the isms that I may have inherited or may be popular in my life around me. How do I feed my soul? How do I am at one with who I am, which is also at one with God? How do I live out the golden rule? How do I do unto others as I would have them do unto me? Because when we are truly doing that, we are feeding our soul, giving life to our soul, our inner being, our connection with our true self in connection with God, and the connection with the Spirit of God which then will live forever. When we live in our true soul and live that way, that spirit lives on beyond our own lifetime. That is our eternal life. So, it's important, and I invite you this week to think about, how do I touch the love of God, and how do I express that in my life, in my attitudes towards myself, towards those close to me, and those further away from me? How do I accept other people? How do I see them? How do I love them? How do I live the golden rule? And I pray today that as we reflect on this, we also feed on Jesus in our hearts as we receive the sacrament. For Jesus is love. And that love of God, that spirit of the love of God, is in each and every one of us. This is our true self. This is who we are. Put away our prejudices, even though they may have been comfortable. Put them away and risk in love as we reach out as the people of God on a journey with God. May God bless us all. Amen.